Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, monthly album roundup for the month of May 2019. I'm your host, Robert, and oh my god, you magnificent bastards, Nintendo, you did it again! And with me, I have...
Basketball and hockey seasons are over, I don't know what to do now. These are video games, and good ones.
And...
Oh, you mad? Dang it.
We're not there yet.
Yes, patience.
Yeah, I'm just...
Mark is dropping illusions here. He's foreshadowing what is to come later, but that will, of course, come in due time. But, so we're here doing the album roundup for May. Definitely a pretty big packed month. You know, things are picking up more and more in the hype department. Plenty of unexpected surprises here and there, so... Yeah, you know, might as well get this started. So let's actually talk about what did come out this past month. These are some of the more notable releases. So, you know, there's probably stuff that slipped through the cracks. This is just like a snapshot of it. So let's start with some of the rock, indie, and folk releases. So starting here at the top, we had the new solo album from Danny Warsnop with Shades of Blue. I refuse to acknowledge you as metal and hardcore, sir. Live with it. We had a new one from Sammy Hagar in the Circle with Space Between. A new project from Whitesnake with Flesh and Blood. So for you dad rockers listening, there's things you probably missed or already heard. Yeah. Who knows? From Remo Drive. There's Natural Everyday Degradation. The newest one from long-running punk band Bad Religion with Age of Unreason. The comeback of grunge icons L7 with Scatter the Rats. From Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, not to be confused with Frank Turner, we have End of Suffering. There was a new project from The National called I Am Easy to Find, a new EP from Interpol with A Fine Mess, a new album from lo-fi rock act Sebado with Act Surprised, Mac DeMarco coming back with Here Comes the Cowboy, Yeehaw, and of course Vampire Weekend with Father of the Bride. Now moving on to the metal and hardcore stuff, we had a new project from Defeater, a new self-titled album. We had a new one from Abnormality with Sociopathic Constructs. Hey, remember when they were featured in Rock Band? That was fucking weird, right? Anyway, we had a new one from thrash band Death Angel with Humanicide. From power metal act Gloryhammer, we had Legends from Beyond the Galactic Terror Vortex. From progressive metal act Dreadnought, their newest album Emergence. From grindcore act Call of the Void, there's Buried in Light. From symphonic metalers Flesh God Apocalypse, there's Veleno. We had a new one from Viking metal act Amon Amarth with Berserker. Ringworm coming back with Death Becomes My Voice. From black metal act Dark Throne, there's Old Star. The much anticipated new album from Neckbeard Death Camp with So Much for the Tolerant Left. from various artists, there was, of course, the much-anticipated Metal Swim 2 compilation. From Full of Hell, following up Trumpeting Ecstasy with their newest album and Relapse debut, Weeping Choir. And after 10 years of waiting, the much-anticipated Untitled project from Rammstein. Now moving on to hip-hop and R&B and all that good stuff, we had a new one from Dionne Warwick called She's Back. A new album from Ciara called Beauty Marks. We got a new one from Mavis Staples called We Get By. A new project from Shaggy called Wagwan. YG dropping For Real. PNB Rock dropping Trap Star Turned Pop Star. From Skepta, we have Ignorance is Bliss. There is the debut album from Megan Thee Stallion with Fever. From Logic, taking his second L of the year with Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. We have from the Wu-Tang Clan, the soundtrack album for the series of Mics and Men, the unexpected new album from Tyler, the Creator with Igor, the also unexpected new album from Denzel Curry with Zoo, and of course coming back after 5 years, we had the new Flying Lotus project, Flamagra. And now to round things out with the pop and electronic releases, we had Tim Hecker following up on Kanoyo with the compliment piece Anoyo. From former Disney star Ashley Tisdale, Symptoms. From other former Disney star Miley Cyrus, an EP called She Is Coming. From DJ Khaled, we have Second Place. I'm not telling you the actual title. You know it's Second Place.
Actually, it's not second place anymore. It got bumped down even further.
Ooh, wow. We had a new EP from Diplo with Higher Ground. And, of course, You're Sleeping On, Carly Rae Jepsen, with her new album, Dedicated. So, yeah, pretty packed with all kinds of hype stuff from top to bottom. So, might as well get into, you know, what we actually listened to and discussing these things in detail. So, as always, Mr. Alex is going to get the ball rolling.
Yes, and this time around, I've sort of expanded my my horizons, if you will. Because I have 10 albums to discuss in part or in length, plus one later we'll get to. And I'm going to start with two albums that I ventured off into the wilderness to listen to. The first one of which, what a surprise, it's from my own secret territory that nobody knows about. The solo album debut release of one Mr. Daniel Tompkins, the vocalist of Tesseract, Castles.
Ah.
Yeah. This has a little bit of similarity to Tommy Rogers from Between the Buried and Me, his solo album that came out a while ago. And that it's a little bit different from what we're used to within his own band context, because we all know what Tesseract is capable of doing. Lots of, you know, slow chugging prog riffs and, yeah, all that goodness. Hope we get a new album soon. I want more Tesseract. But yeah, for this album, it's a nice little bit of a detour to bide everyone over. The opening track, Saved, is a bit more downbeat, and it's filled with a strong EDM electronica musicality. That kind of sets the stage for the bulk of the album. Very focused on electronics, which is nice. You know, you gotta get a little different every now and then. But there is still a little bit of that Tesseract-style heaviness sprinkled throughout with some mighty power chords within the chorus on the second track, Black in the Sun, and in the very somber ballad, Cinders. The title track, Castles, comes in with a very moody trap beat to lead into its main verse hook. It's not annoying, it's not overused that much, but it's used just well enough to really get across the more low-key, downbeat mood of what it's trying to go for, if that makes any sense. Basically, what I'm saying is this is modern alternative radio rock, only good. Take note, everyone else. The album does end, and I say end loosely, with a unique piece, Telegraph, a slow jazz-style track with acoustic drums and slow upright bass line. Pretty neat. This whole album is a bit two halves, though, as only the first seven tracks make up the main meat of it, while the latter six are reinterpretations and remixes of four of those tracks. One got remixed three times. It's a little different than what people would be used to with the name attached here, but it's a pretty strong album that works well with this blend of downbeat electronic and Tompkins' very impressive vocal range, even if it's kept in lower registers for a good chunk of it. Might be easy to pass this off as a one-off project, and while it's not entirely unfair to claim, it is neat to hear what artists are capable of doing outside of the confines of their own band environment. So, yeah, I like these projects. Keep them going. So I'm doing something a little different here as well. I gave this Dark Throne album, Old Star, a listen, mostly to challenge myself and my sensibilities on black metal.
Oh.
This was not the album to do it, because this is full 80s thrash. It's really good, wow, though. Yeah. The opening track, I Muffle Your Inner Choir. It starts up pretty strong with some solid thrash grooves to it, and as I go further into it, I'm getting some very solid garage metal vibes from this album, which is made even more amazing when you consider this band is only made up of two guys. That's impressive. The Hardship of the Scots is a bit more laid back with a slower groove at the start, before picking up to a bit of an Iron Maiden-y section past the midway point. You know what I mean by that. Some of the stuff I'd hear on Number of the Beast or Power Slave. this whole album is basically an homage to 80s thrash, and apparently that was the MO going into it, because... Shut up, Siren! I'm sorry, it's been raining, and people don't know how to drive in the rain. Where was I? Oh, yeah, so... Yeah, I'm guessing the MO of this album is, fuck it, we've done everything we can, we've been around for 30 years, let's just do something for us. And I really like that. And a lot of those 80s thrash vibes do carry on with the title track Old Star and on Alpman, which that latter track could probably be an older Dio track. It has that very triumphant Dio feel to it. And there's a little bit of punk vibes thrown in as well, like in the opening riff of Duke of Gloat. But it does progress into what feels like the most black metal-y section of the album, with those diminished chords. So yeah, this is pretty good. Not very long, so it's a pretty quick listen. Doesn't overstay its welcome. Well done, lads. I'll get around to more Darkthrone another time, but for now, yeah, I like this. It's good stuff. And carrying on with the metal stuff, there was some I didn't get around to, and unfortunately I don't hate myself enough to talk about Danny Warsnop, so yeah. So, Rammstein. To me, they've always been a greatest hits band, a band I really only like a couple of tracks from, you know, Du Hast, the track that was in Space Ghost Coast to Coast, and Yggwill from the Destroy All Humans trailer, which, that was a great trailer.
It's finally coming back.
Yeah. So, yeah. That same mentality goes into play with this untitled album. Only a couple of tracks I really like. This is more of a me thing than a them thing. I like the hook-filled Deutschland, the solid groove metal and Tattoo, and the manic and sinister Puppy. I think that's how you say it. I don't know. I'm bad at German.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. The blend of German metal and electro dance beats are in full force here, because this is Rammstein after all. Diehards will really dig the album. It's got all the checkpoints one would expect from a well-crafted Rammstein album, so, yeah. There you go. So I could go on forever about this new Amon Amarth album, Berserker, but I'll just keep it short. This album is fierce, it will give you an 8-pack, and it will give you the ability to grow John Petrucci's beard.
Oh.
Yeah. It's powerful, manly metal. Thor should listen to this album while he works out to cut that weight down, especially on the track, oh, conveniently titled Mjolnir, Hammer of Thor.
Yeah, but does he even have that hammer anymore? I'm pretty sure Cap's still holding on to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could always dream about getting it again, because, I'm sure in another reality it'll come back into play. You never know. So, yeah, the grooves are tight. The rips are mighty. The vocals deliver an intense and strong presence that you can't help but want to take on the world with this fantastic Viking growl roaming in your ears. This is going into my workout rotation for sure. Oh, this is going to be great workout music. So, yeah. Excellent metal. Listen to metal. So it dawned on me that we just passed the 15-year anniversary of Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, the seminal sophomore album from My Chemical Romance, the emo punk band of the mid-2000s. And,
hear, hear.
Seeing how we're 6 years removed from the breakup, how about we see what Frank Iero has been up to with this project, Frank Iero and the Future Violence, and their debut album, Barriers. He's turned out a pretty strong punk album with this. It's just oozing with, you know, emotion, as you would expect from a guy like Frank Iero. And there are tracks that are full of MCR vibes, like Young and Doomed and Fever Dream. So if you're looking for some of that MCR-esque punk to remind you of your emo days roaming through Hot Topic in 2006, this is your album. But seriously, this is pretty all right. I like it. Okay. I cannot call this Neckbeard Death Camp album anything other than anti-music. So much for the tolerant left, it is one hell of an experience with fantastic songs like Shitpost Knocked, Operation Neat, and my personal favorites. unironically calling someone the Untermensch from a Facebook account with an Azumanga profile picture.
There's some weebs in that band.
Yeah, set to ravenous, deafening, and cacophonous feedback noise. Along with some news clips and samples. One I know from Emma Gonzalez, and one I think is Alex Jones, but slowed down. I mean, he still sounds stupid and insane, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, glorious irony. I love every minute of it. It's incredibly captivating, even if it's just, well, anti-music. These guys are doing something fantastic, yo. Don't be afraid. Give in to it. So now for these couple of surprise drops. First, Tyler, the Creator's Igor.
Ooh.
He's done it again. Wow. Synth vibes, laid-back R&B, and it's set to what's meant to be a breakup album with a love triangle storyline, I think. Yeah, Tyler's done it again with emotional bars. Great instrumentation. Kanye's here for some reason, but it doesn't matter because it's good. I'm not being too deep into it because I know these guys are going to talk about it in greater detail later. Same with this new surprise album from Denzel Curry, Zoo. I think this is why we've held it off for another week, because we needed more time to listen to this album in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Yeah, so I think it's fair to say this guy's star is well on the rise. He's got some great flowing bars, and he and his producers know how to expand on the typical trap beat to get them some more flavor. So yeah, I'm going to have to keep this on rotation. And of course there's a Majin Buu reference in the first track. Of course there is!
Woo!
Not a bad thing either, that's fantastic. I gotta say, even the Migos-sounding track Speedboat manages to avoid all the annoying pitfalls Migos suffers, and it turns it around to serve as a pretty solid banger. Like most of the album. So, yeah, even if it is a transition album, we have a pretty strong hip-hop album of the year contender here, and with Igor, with a couple of fast rising stars that could serve to become a strong face of the genre. You know, until Kendrick comes back with the new album.
Possibly any day now, who knows?
Yeah. Unlike...
Oh.
And here's where I'm going to be very mean.
Ooh.
Now I come to Sir Robert Bryson Hall II, a.k.a. Logic.
Ooh.
What happened, man? Like, no joke. The Incredible True Story was one of those dang, this is great kinds of album. I love that album. So many great songs on that album. Ever since then, I've been so fucking hot and cold on him. The cold stuff, the albums, are pretty bleh. I mean, yeah, everybody kind of sucked. While the hot stuff is in courtesy of Mixtape Logic. Bobby Tarantino 2, Young Sinatra 4, those are good. So yeah, we're getting Album Logic again, disguised this time as Mixtape Logic, because this is not a pop album, it's just, not very well put together rap album. I mean, the title track is fine, Homicide is...
Oh, God.
Yeah, Wannabe is a pretty forgettable interlude, while Clickbait is, okay, I think I get what the problem is. We're just cycling through the usual Logic tropes all over again, aren't we? Like on here, where it's just full of, y'all are too hard on me, and a lengthy diss on Charlemagne the God. It's just stuff we've already heard before. We've heard these things several times over by now. I bring up the Incredible True Story because on City of Stars, the second half of that track is Logic going hard to prove himself to everyone while he was on the rise. It was only his second album, right?
Yeah.
And now that he's up there in the pecking order, I mean, dude, we get it. We know. We get it. Move the fuck on. Please. You're really testing my patience here. Don't even get me started on Supermarket. That fucking album sucked.
Oof.
Okay, bring it down, bring it down. So yeah, as I'm going through this album track by track, I'm just not getting that same level of enthusiasm that I had for Story or BT2 or Young Sinatra 4. We're just going through the same things we've heard on better songs he's done. And sure, the production may be changed a little bit up on these tracks, and it's not tipping too far into the pop realm, but I think we need a break from Logic for a while. 3 albums in a year and a half, and 2 of those aren't technically albums, they're mixtapes. Yeah, we need a break. And look, this album isn't a total loss, it's just... it's serviceable. I mean, it's still better than Supermarket, but this just feels like more of the same, only there's Gucci Mane and Wiz Khalifa and Will Smith doing features, and those songs fucking suck. And no, you are not like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
We're coming off E3. Kindly sit the fuck down, sir.
We've seen this past week. Keanu Reeves has been waging a full-on charm offensive. You're settling for The Last of Us Part 2 while he's getting cyberpunked.
Yeah. And this album, yeah, far from breathtaking. And, yeah, we just need a good break. I'm not at Fantano levels of ugh-ness, but I'm really annoyed at him after putting this album out. But I suppose it could be worse, right, Miley?
Oh,
this brings me to Miley Cyrus. Back to her zany pop shit after that country tiptoe didn't go super hot. And now she is trying to reclaim her spot in the pop hierarchy while names like Billie Eilish and Ariana Grande have only risen up the ranks. Oh, and you might have heard about this Korean boy band called, what was his name? Oh yeah, BTS.
Maybe. I feel like I've listened to them recently.
The pop realm has changed in a couple years, is what I'm saying. So yeah, this EP, She Is Coming. Believe it or not, it's the first of 3 shorter EPs that will make up the full album, She Is Miley Cyrus.
Oh boy.
That sounds like a threat.
It
sounds like what Lisa Curry did, except while that album was good, hers would sound like shit.
Yeah. Decent one. That's all I gotta say about that, but yeah. Okay, off the bat, the first track, Mother's Daughter, it's solid enough. Then she has to ruin it by going, swish, swish, motherfucker. Like,
oh boy.
Why? Why are you trying to sound like the cool kids? Stop! It
was bad enough when Katy Perry did that.
Ugh. Yeah. Next track, Unholy, tries to go for that kind of trap country thing of, hey, I'm a little drunk and I need you now, and there's a drum machine in the background, and it's just, it doesn't you're not work.
You're not Lil Nas X, or your daddy, damn.
I'll get to him in a moment, but yeah.
Uh-oh.
Then there's the track Dream, which I'm not going to speak out the acronym. It's a song about drugs. It's a low-down drug song. And then there's Ghostface Killah on the very tail end of it. That makes me feel like this was literally tacked in at the last minute. What the fuck?
The hell?
Yeah, Ghostface Killah does a rap feature on this track at the very end. It makes no sense. The beat changes up. Faster tempo. Literally copied and pasted at the very last minute. Ugh. Then there's RuPaul on Catitude at the start doing his usual, oh my god, bitch, what are you wearing thing. And I had to shut the song off after 30 seconds with a loud groan of disgust. This is the worst song I've heard in a long time. Oh, it's garbage. Oh, and yeah, there's the line, I love you, Nikki, about listening to Cardi, which makes me go, ladies, ladies, you're all terrible.
That is true.
And then there's fucking Swae Lee and Mike Will Made It on Party Up the Street, whatever, which, that's about as far of a party song as you could get. And look, by this point, I just don't care about the Mark Ronson-produced Closer the most. It's just, go away, Miley. Please go away. For everyone's sake, just go away and be a clout chaser like DJ Khaled and your dad. I mean, it's worked out pretty well for him recently. Maybe not so much DJ Khaled, but, you know, your dad's been doing pretty good for himself. Hitching his wagon up that old town road.
He's got the horses in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there's one more album I have on here, but I'm going to save that for later, and you all will know why later.
So, I suppose that puts a wrap on Alex's various highs and lows. So now let's move on to what Mr. Mark here has to say about, you know, whatever albums he was listening to.
All right. So, to start off, yes, I have a dozen albums. Yeah, because I would have more, but I have to say now I have to stop because I don't know that too much. Like, I would listen to the Megan Thee Stallion album because I heard some good things about it, but it's like I'm going to do them all the time. But let's look at the album, shall we? Let's get to my highlights. And as I said before, yes, the first one is Tyler the Creator with Number One. Oh, I mean Igor. Well, both, actually. So, Mr. Okanama, I can't say his real name, just say Tyler. So Mr. Tyler has been a lot busy recently with, you know, Judge Coming Back, Aaron Allen Don't Swim. And there's a side part of Stupid that I'm not going to mention because, yeah. But anyway, my guy on Flower Boy, is sort of like this storyline with, you know, well, something to do with mostly heartbreak or him having a crush on somebody, which I guess is a guy because, well, there's this one track called A Boy Is a Gun, which was a good story about how the guy he's attracted to. He's kind of dangerous. He's especially in the movie, but he's like, even the guy says, nah, just stay away from me, man. You know I'm gonna fuck your life up. Like, you know that. He still will go to it. And, yes, there is the aforementioned song with, about the love triangle with, shit, what's it called? New Magic One. That's the one where he wants Tyler's ex out of the picture, which he was on the mother, because, well, Magic Wand, yeah, that means gun. Yeah, that means gun. In case you didn't get that picture. Out of the sound here, like you do get these, you know, very wavy R&B type of shit. Although we'll say New Magic Wand and What's Good are many two of the more aggressive bangers in there. Like New Magic Wand got that really hard hitting beat. You got some talk, and What's Good got is very aggressive, especially with this verse by this rapper named Slow Ty. Also. Do was out as well as last month too, which I heard was good. This verse just says, "The car crash couldn't take me. Green angels hair all around me. No answer why. No fifth cry, bitch. I'm alive. That's my point. Like V-neck, I had nothing to cheat with. I cheat death. Never no repeat. I reset everything I live with. So like new check. This guy's pretty good. This guy's pretty good. I'd like to check that album out whenever I have a chance." We'll say the songs. I do love Puppet. I do love that song because, and when I hear Kanye West had a verse, I notice some of the mix in there. Which no, the mixing is not bad. I don't think the mixing is bad in there. But then again, I'm not much of an audiophile type of shit. That's more Alex's or maybe Ralph's apartment, but. The vocals was kind of buried a bit because I tried to make up what he's trying to say. I mean, I look at Gene to see what the fuck he was saying, but I still like what the song brought to me. It's like experimental neo R&B type of shit. Like it's even the song Gone Gone/Thank You, which I'm guessing. It's a 10-track, I'm guessing it's one of those tracks have that multi-part structure, like on every 10-track on a Tyler album, which is what I'm looking at, because I'm thinking, you know what, that might be true, because I did look back and see, okay, yeah, and on song level, it does have that, you know, very, very, like, 80s R&B type of sound with the chicken sound, so it's like, I remind of El DeBarge, mainly that one, meaning on the chorus. I guess it's done by CeeLo Green, I think, because I know that's him. At least that's what I think it is. Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing with this album when it came out. I don't know who the fuck was teaching this album. Like, I have to make sure they said right, because like, oh, it's this one. Oh no, it's not that one. No, it's this one. It's that one. It's like you hear Uzi Vert and Solange, I think, on the intro Eagle screen, which yes, you heard Uzi Vert on there, and you're thinking, hey, you, I don't know, I guess you didn't notice, or maybe you did. And you also hear Charlie Last Day Wilson, Jesse Wilson, and Playboy Cardi on Earthquake, and wow, this wow, another track where I'm like, wow, I didn't mind Cardi on here. Maybe just stick work with Tyler and Solange, which Tyler and Solange, they've been doing shit together this year with him shooting for him like a few months ago, and like I said, the soul sound of shit still continues with the cool stuff of I don't love you anymore, which, you know, basically that's the breakup part where it's like. He's over infatuation is like, which leads to, of course, you know, the last track, Always Still Friends, which was sampled from that Al Green song Dream, and of course features his, pretty much his idol or inspiration or Pharrell Williams, which yeah, you kind of still figure that out, which you get a guitar solo from Jack White from what I heard on the track, like it's still got that dreamy soul feel you get from there. But yeah, like from this album, it's like what Tyler said when he talked about that thing. It's like don't expect Wolf or Cherry Bomb or Flyboy or anything else. Like it's a very different sound from here. Although I think it's like a more better version of Cherry Bomb, or at least you know a slightly maybe less distorted or at least not as messy. But I don't know. But yeah, this album is another example of Tina coming up and saying why he is an interesting talent. That's why people listen to him, because they want to know more about his shit. But I'll get to that part with that example later. But anyway, next album is, of course, Denzel Curry with Zoo. And I'm going to keep this short like you did with this album, because, well, it's like what? It was like 30 minutes, like what, close to 30 minutes, or at least approximately that time. It's like that's enough to watch like a.
Yeah, I think it's like 29.
Yeah, like 29. It's like that's you know, I tell you, watch an old sitcom on whatever TV channel you got. Anyway, so you got another disagreement in. Wow, that's like almost a year since Taboo, and yeah, this is definitely full of some good ass bangers. That's what it is. You got bangers, good bangers that don't say the welcome. Well, we got 9 tracks, 1 or 2 skits, but these are all fucking excellent. Like, you do get Boss Buggy talking about his family with Ricky, which let's go hard. Talk about, you know, his home in South Florida, making the world of rap game, and you know, trying to make sure at Ricky's fuck, you know what people he lost, like his brother. But like, even on Check Speedboat, which he goes. Big talk, speedboat, better guy out of get repo. Don't get calls like for a free throw, people getting killed through the peephole. Didn't make headman through up for the war, put some ass like a luchador. I was making 21, and so I got to make it past 24. Ooh, yeah, that's something I can respect. Like, oh, which is, of course, on my track, with, you know, Zoo, reference to Jack and Ball, which, of course, all right. And then also reference the Trick Daddy song, I'm a Thug, and the Tupac act, and the, you know, the Tupac acronym Thug Life, which everybody knew what the fuck that means, but yeah, and he even got some nice features on there, like mostly many, you know, Miami, like Florida rappers you get from there, like mostly not those well known, like you heard, like, I mean, the only one you probably know off the bat is Rick Ross, and he's gonna check birds, which he's very good with the class for Curry, like. I do respect that, and he do, and there's what I like from Kid Omar on Wish, where we talked about how the only time to go to church is for a funeral, and how rappers could just spend a check, fact, it's also one track, Shake 88, which is definitely, this shit will bump at the strip club. If you see a girl, if you see some girl twerk to this shit, like, this is the Shake That Ass anthem. And, of course, with Pat, that last track you got, that very signature aggressive Denzel Curry sound, which that was old to his, you know, old to his older days back in the Raider Clan, which he was with. We were like, yeah, that's all you got. You got some good bangers to keep it short and simple. That's all you need from him for now, because might come something new later on, which, another damn guy from Denzel Curry. This man knows what he's doing. I'm fucking glad that he got another good album. Next album is one that I almost forgot to mention to you. The new one from Comtrues, titled Persuasion System.
You know, I knew I was forgetting something, but I couldn't put my finger on what.
Yeah, I kind of blame, like, you know, with all the news with Denzel and Tyler, like, I sort of forgot too for a minute. And I'll say this, to me, this album is, like, slightly better than the last one I listened to, the last album that he had way back then. Maybe because more tracks I kind of gel with, I kind of gel with, like, the dude gave me that sound, like, to kind of make me want to get into it, like tracks like Ultra Feast for You, which, okay, that's a really fun thing, and Gysian, like, I do want the name to sound like I've been like a sci-fi dude, like, I like that type of shit, and of course you get that those from single, he got Context, which I think that was a couple of months ago, which is on this album as well. Yeah, this album is, I want to say, slightly better than the last one, because I don't want to get too hyped up on that, because that album was, it was meh, that was meh. This one is slightly more into my speed, more into something that I can gel with. Like, this is a pretty substantial album that can come true. It's a solid album, is what I'm saying here. And now for the quick round, starting with Injury Reserve with their debut studio album, or at least debut studio album on another label. It's self-titled. It's their own name. Yeah. Anyway, this is a rap group that I heard people about. And I gotta say, they offer an interesting. Yeah, no, is it having? They have some jazz rap, some bit of like, something you hear somebody like JPEG Mafia does, which, oh yeah, he appears on here too with on a track, Get the Fuck the GGTSU, or Get the Fuck Out with him and Cakes the Killer featuring on there. Like, you do get some features in there with him, Rico Nasty, Amine, and Freddie Gibbs, and Drunk, and Owen Drum as well. Like, this is a very interesting album that I dove into. Like, I will say the one song that I got to get into is the one called Raps on Tutorial, which is like saying, make a beat, write this hook, do a verse, repeat this shit. Like, okay, get that. Like this is actually, I do like the song Jawbreaker with Rico Nasty. Again, Get the Fuck Out with JPEG Mafia. Jumping Tesla with Amine, that got some good things going for it. I love Wax Song featuring Freddie Gibbs. And I love the last track you got there with Dream Man Weave, which has that sweet jazz sound that really just gets me. Like, man, this is good. Like, I wanted more sounds like that in the album. I wanted something more sounds like that, but what I got is like, it's pretty alright. Like, Injury Reserve, maybe it's me listening for the first time. I know I listened to a couple of like tracks from the earlier albums. I actually have more interest in it and learn more about these guys. Like, what is some good shit. Okay, next one is, well, I'm gonna do a quick one here. Tim Hector's Annoyo. I gotta say, it's like, yeah, it's pretty good companion piece to his last one, Annoyo, which, okay, you get this very ambient, you gotta get this very, you know, very ambient. And it's like, you said, you know, you gotta get with him. I do say yes, it does go up with. Then 34-minute listen, 30-minute listen with 6 tracks, like, a damn good companion piece. And now, another quick one, which I know Rob didn't forget, because I know he can remind me, is, yes, let's do Call of Duty Justice for Dedicated.
Y'all sleeping on him.
And I gotta say, yes, the album is good. This is definitely some good pop music that does make me happy a bit. It does, you know, give me say, ah, this is nice. This is nice. Like, it's the first time I listened to an album of hers. I know she's been doing good. After that one hit that I'm not gonna name out, she has been, making a lot of albums that people are saying that, wow, this girl really got it. But yeah, that's all I got. Like, she, like, yeah, this album is good. That's all I gotta say to that. Next one is another one that, well, didn't get mentioned, but I kind of get why. Jets. That's the collaboration between Jimmy Eggert and Machine Drum with Zuspa. And even when
that did come out.
Yeah, that's the one that got that single with Don Richard, Potions. And I gotta say, this album reminds me a lot of, like, very alternative, electronic, weird neo-R&B type of shit. Like, the opening track, Fauna Sauna, got this whole twinkling, but it sounds like something you hear out of a 90s anime OVA. Or hentai. I don't know. Either one. But yeah, the song I got from them, it's a lot of that extended. Like, you do get like a lot of like, you know, very unknown names. Like, good one song, Lookout, featuring King Jet. It sounds much like a you know, R&B and a very neo R&B type of song. Play featuring Mickey Blanco, a name only heard through the Ghostfam singles list once, maybe 5 years ago. Got this song played. It sounds like something that if somebody cut up an A$AP Ferg song and then did like that. The instrumental songs do stand out. Like I said, I kind of like the first and the last song, Final Sonnet and Water and Stone, respectively. Like this weird 90s sound to it. Like, it's all like playing the PlayStation 1 game, and this would be like the game music, which I can mess with that. But this collaboration is pretty good. It's alright. Okay, and the last and that's the quick round is YG with For Real. Now, originally supposed to be released in April but changed the back to anti-death of Nipsey Hussle, which he dedicated DJ this album to, which, look at the album cover, which I sort of get that because he called his brother from another color, you know, him being the blood, Nipsey being the Crip. And while I was hesitant because his last album, Stay Dangerous, was less than dangerous, this album was alright. It was a step up. It was a step up. It does have some storytelling tracks. It does got some slightly better beats. I mean, the music is still in there somewhere. But you do get a song called Keisha Has a Baby, which, yes, when I said that, I'm talking about that one track, the one Twitter printing got made. But you do get. But yeah, the album is, as a whole, it it's okay. It's very okay. Like, you do get that Star Stitching track, which, okay, which is good. Oh, you get a remix with this rapper named Da Baby. And yes, that's spelled D-A-B-A-B-Y all together. Da Baby.
Oh.
Yeah. And of course, you do get like the Nipsey tribute where he spoke at his funeral. Where I guess he spoke at his funeral, which I know I heard that got, you know, I heard news of that, which he spoke to that, which, okay, yeah, that is okay. It is true to your homie, which I do respect. I do respect that shit. And that's what I'm so, like I said, like you do get some good features like Heart to Heart with Meek Mill, that was okay. Go Loco with Tyga and John C, which I didn't care much about that. Bottle Service in the Dark, which okay, that's okay. Do have to start with Kamaya, which oh hey, Kamaya's back. I ain't heard in a while. Oh, and there's G Easy. I'll get to you later on.
Oh.
But this album is it was slightly better than the last one, so that's the quick rounds. But first, let me do a low life that's kind of quick because I want to get out of the way. And this one I'm disappointed with. And before you start thinking, ain't that one yet? It's Mac DeMarco with Here Comes the Cowboy.
Oof.
Man, I wanted to like this album. I really do. But I would have liked it if it just been an EP. Like, out of all the 13 tracks he got in here, I like 4.5. And the half means I like the latter half of that final track. Cause most of the songs sound kind of, well, boring. Like, Here Comes the Cowboy sounds kind of droning. I'm like, okay, I'm really not feeling this at all. Like, Choo Choo, okay, keep going Choo Choo, or some bullshit like that. Most of the tracks, the instrumentation sounds nice, but I kind of not feeling, like, I'm not feeling both of them. Like, the four tracks I like, like, Heart to Heart, I did kind of like that. Under Square, I like that because, I mean, it does got an instrument piano, and plus that weird-ass music video, that's one of the good positives I can think about this, about that song, because that sounds like some shit you see on Adult Swim on Off Air. Like, it's weird as fuck, is what I'm saying. Like, you just have to see to believe it, but yeah, this album is, like, I'm disappointed that I didn't like this album this much. Like, I want to like it, I heard this guy before. I'm like, okay, so he'd be someone that I like. He'd be someone that, you know, got that whole, like, alternative, like, psychedelic rock that I sort of fuck with. But kind of like, I'm not feeling none of this. Or most of it. I'm not feeling most of it. But, yeah, this is just not good, man. I just didn't care for it. And now for the low light. Now I thought about who should go first, who should go last, but you know what? The more I think about it, the more I was about to say the last one, say the best for last, because I'm gonna get Logic out the way first. Logic Man, what happened? Rear Room for you, nigga. It's all like the same shit all over again, except. You're not doing anything new with it. It's like people saying that all people say I sound like Kendrick or Drake or Cole. But then again, one track you sound like you're Jid on Homicide. And here's the thing: with Confessions of Mind play, which is like okay, that track is still okay. It's like then with the Homicide, I was like yep, my luck sank down. And people saying this. Even the verse is not good. Stop acting like we hate him because it's cool to hate him. He's just not that fucking good anymore. Alright?
Cosign.
Clickbait is, well, it's fucking clickbait because all the hidden beef with Charlamagne and that weird ass line, which, I guess he's saying the Poopy's gay, he'll suck at dick. Like, oh, what the fuck? Okay, you, okay, that's, you had to go that far, or I don't know, you just, okay, okay. And then, like, I will say, Mama Show Love with Wyman Cornet, that's the first, I like the first half, that's about it. Well, actually, I like, well, the song I like, that's about it. Then this Commando, with this Commando, I mean, it got a cool beat, but then with the Easy, which he says, Joe and Bobby, the Clash of the Titans, go tell somebody. Who the fuck is this rap Titan? You're not even close to Titan. You're not even an armor Titan. You're more of a Teen Titan Go.
Ooh.
As in go get the fuck off stage. I said it'll be in the movie. I think it'll be in the movie, but your ex already have been in there. And then, like I said, he raps about how, like, you know, his usual as in, he's like, oh, he's biracial, he's flexy, making the rap game, building his haters, and he's mocking to play our subjects, which he's being typical as well. It's not that way. He said he's going to say something as always, hey, he's getting stale at it, he's getting awful at it, he is getting less and less favorable. He is just repeating the same shit. It is not good. And then, the one song, I'm just scratching my head, Don't Be Afraid to Be Different, which, you got Will Smith, okay, Will Smith rapping, well, and of course he raps his, his first person barrel ever rap, born afraid of a big ride, nah, fuck all that. Except he didn't say that because, you know, he don't curse in his raps, which, I can say it's not get lit bad, but okay. And of course he references the Fortnite call to dance or whatever the fuck, like, okay. And then you got to do our checks like Bobby with his dad Smokey Hall, which Craig asked my dad, like, the dude has a badass name, but he's obnoxious as hell, like, especially on him and on Homicide, which he said, which he's talking about, you came from my balls, nigga, like, oh my god, that's just, dude, I like your name, but fuck, you annoying. And then you get Lost Translation, which I would have loved, but then I read the Japanese outro, which I had to translate it to, which he says, thanks for joining us for Crush of a Dangerous Mind. It was fun, wasn't it? I hope you enjoyed it. However, you don't like Logic, please have your ears and just leave. But actually, you get help because you love Logic, right? You, every day you get help and figure him, you come successful without noticing. Rap all over the world, man or Margaret, he's together. I will love you and all of you from this band with well, rap motherfucker. Oh my god. He sounds so fucking obnoxious with this shit. That's what, here's the thing, I wouldn't like that track, but that last thing made me say, man, what the fuck? You know what? Maybe be alright, maybe you need a break. You do need a break. You need to just sit together, like, maybe just work on other things, like, just, you know what, just work on Last of Us 2, or some shit like that, or whatever you got, whatever, because right now, you need a break from rapping. And here's the thing with this album, like, I'm not as angry, I'm just disappointed. Like, I think when I first wrote this review, I'm thinking, I'm being too nice on him, like, I'm thinking, maybe I'm too nice on him, like, nah. This right amount of me being critical of you because you sort of need this. You need this shit. You just need to just go back on the drawing board, or at least take a break. Don't do shit. Don't make another album or mixtape or EP or soundtrack to a book that I heard was bad itself. But then I remember you doing stuff with John Lucas, so it's like, oh my god. However, while I'm doing that, I've got one more turkey to pull, and we got a big turkey. one whiny-ass turkey. DJ Khaled! We the best! No, you not! You can't handle my success! Really? You can't handle Tyler's either. Or be honest, matter of fact. So, yeah, there's a second place. Got his album out. Father of Assad. What's supposed to say about this shit? Like, I remember 2 years ago, this was the first bad. This last time, Grateful, I covered that shit on the first album roundup. Like, I remember going, and I promise you, I will not be long with this. I'm going to get straight to the point with this shit. It's not good. It's in fact the same old bullshit you hear from him after album's word. You either get a whole bunch of generic ass songs that make that be hits, with the occasional one or two good joints on there, which yes, get out of the way. Yes, the higher company's hustle is good. It is sort of very heart-wrenching because when you hear about Nipsey going to with his wife and, well, how they ended, that is kind of more fucked up, which... But here's the thing, I would credit the Nipsey and John Legend. Just those two. Not the other guy. And I'll say I would like that one other track, Big Boy Talk with DJ Rick Ross. That's it. That's the two songs I like. Other than that, the other 13 tracks of this shit? Do you remember that song? You remember that song Under One with Justin Bieber, Chance the Rapper, and Quavo? Well, they got another one. They got basically a copy with Known Brainer. Only did Little Wayne just said, no, I'm out. And it's still just as bad. But yeah, but Lil Wayne ain't on the hook yet. Cause, him and Gunna did a song together called Freak in You. And yes, I said freaking you. They said, they sample, and they sample with the very with sound like chipmunk vocals, like, oh god, oh no, that just sound bad. And what sounds worse is song Just Us, which, yeah, since phoning in, she didn't want to do this shit. Like, maybe they got hurt because they're thinking he can't get Kendrick to do this shit again. I'll put that later on. But yeah, Just Us is just her phoning in with a one Outkast song that, you know, but it's like, oh, but it's not sampled. No, it sounds like it's sampled. Like, for real, it's basically Miss Jackson. It just sounds like somebody did a Outkast type beat. And then place that shit over there. It ain't good. Like, those tracks are very generic. Like, Wish Recorded Against 21 Savage, generic as fuck. Deals with Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, and Big Sean, generic. Celebrate with Travis Scott and Post Malone, yep, you guessed it. Like, there's even two tracks with Meek Mill, Little Baby with him. Like, well, the storm before Beat Mill sound okay, Little Baby is like, why are you here? And then you stay with again, J Balvin and Jeremiah. I ain't heard him in a while. That's just boring as well. And of course, you got top off that one song that we talked about a year ago with Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Future. Yeah. I mean, two singles you had, this No Brainer, they were a year ago. No one gives a shit about these tracks anymore. That's why people don't give a fuck, because the singles you got are even played out for half a year. And I will say this is one track, Holy Mountain, which is basically a barrage of some old reggae shit, which I want to like, but it just sounds so cluttered. Like, I want to sound right, but it kind of didn't. Like, it's just that. And, you know what? I'm getting right here. This album is bad. It's a hot-ass mess. It's basically the same thing he always does with They put a bunch of rappers, singers, or pop stars, or whoever can get in there on there. And it doesn't feel like an event anymore. It just feels like a bunch of motherfuckers just showing them on there. Like, you can't even get Kendrick in there or J. Cole. Hell, not even Drake is on here. But then again, after that last song, I kind of get wild. But still, your album is hot fucking garbage. And if you wonder why Tyler beat you, or better yet, Billie Eilish beat you, it's because those two had to create better projects that actually need more, more introspect them. I think got more experimental. Then your basic ass generic trap shit, generic party hit, generic everything is so fucking generic. You can sell shit at Walmart. It'll be the great value album right there. You gonna say DJ Khaled, great value, great value right there, right fucking there, fucking there. And I'm gonna say this now about DJ Khaled in this whole deleted Instagram and post. Ho's mad. Yes, Ho, you mad. Hell, I put the son at more dope than your big ass. This is coming from who's also a big dude, but fuck it. Your album sucks. Fuck you.
Yeah. Worth mentioning, not number two anymore. It's now number three, still behind Billie Eilish.
Ha ha ha. that's about my time. I need a drink.
Yeah, I should probably get around to that Billie Eilish album soon. But this is not the time for that. Now it's time to go to me and the things that I've been listening to. So as always, we start off with my top picks. And no surprise, I'm starting with Tyler, the Creator. Let's keep on kicking DJ Khaled's ass. But yeah, kind of short notice, but always good to see Mr. Tyler back. So we saw, on Flower Boy, he was kind of going back to some of his earlier style, but trying to inject more emotional depth and, open up his horizons and sort of backing off a bit on, the edgelord shtick. And this one kind of seems like it's, diving further into that more emotional honesty sort of thing, to the point where Tyler kind of melts into the background a bit. I mean, I know he's been saying for a while that he's wanted to focus on more production work, and sometimes he says that he doesn't like the sound of his own voice, and you do get that a bit here. I mean, he's still there obviously, but you wouldn't know from the beginning. Igor's theme, it sounds like his usual production style, those buzzy droning bass, that boom bap drum rhythm, and those really lush R&B vocals. And then when he gets into Earthquake, it's got that usual synthetic production sound. And pretty much overwhelmingly, it's dominated by Charlie and Jesse Wilson and, the aforementioned Master of Dying Lit himself. Shit, Tyler doesn't even appear proper until track 3, I think. And even there, his vocals are mixed a bit low in comparison to the R&B vibes of the production, with a lot of those bassy synths and very stuttery tweeting synths all firmly accounted for on that track and throughout the rest of the album, Running Out of Time. And hell, there's even, when there's the banger tracks on here, New Magic Wand, because it's got that super menacing, buzzy bass riff to it with the clattering percussion and everything. His performance is very subdued, save for the heavily filtered, distorted verse at the end. Of course, the running theme of, the kind of breakup, stuff going through, especially with the beautiful track, A Boy Is a Gun. And of course, there's even other bangers with, What's Good? Seriously, that's a pretty good jam right there. But yeah, it's definitely interesting to see him broadening his sort of scope. Again, he does disappear into the background a bit, but it's very clear there's careful consideration for the lyrical themes he's delving into, the production choices he's making, and just in general a very thoughtfully composed album. And I didn't hear that DJ Khaled record, but just to throw the last bits of salt on the wound, one, it's kind of amazing that for an album named after your child, your infant child, he's probably not the biggest baby in all of this. And second, you in your Instagram, trying to throw shade, you call this some mystery shit that no one will listen to, while your album is apparently shit that's going to be played everywhere, when I'm shopping at Publix. Barely notice it there at all. But here's the thing. When you have Tyler's music, he is an artist. He is a man who's constantly growing. His music is always very, like, even at its lower points, it's still very thoroughly considered and thoughtfully composed. Yours is just fucking shat out en masse to people that, you know, give it a listen for like 5 minutes and then just go back to whatever it is they're doing. It's like the difference between a delicious home-cooked meal and Arby's. That's about as succinct as I can get with that whole beef. But, yeah, you know, of course, good album. Now, moving on to my second topic here, Call of the Void, Buried in Light. Y'all kids want some grind? Too boy, is there some grind. And this thing pretty much makes no bones about it as it, you know, rips right out of the gate with the blast beats and haunting guitar drones of Dissatility before, you know, slamming into those harder riffs, those D beats, blast beats, grooves and all. It's a fucking furious, like, just pummeling drive of a metal banger. And then pretty much as soon as it gets to the next track, it actually slows things down a bit. There's more menacing pound of the following track, Suck Me Dry. And in a way, it kind of establishes the tone of the album, because as far as its pacing, there's kind of this deliberate back and forth between rapid, fast, pummeling, driving songs and more mid-tempo grooving, you know, sort of tracks. Like, Suck Me Dry, it's pretty much just a buffer between that and Living Ruins, with the self-righteous stomp of the choruses, the furious tremolos of the riffs, and pretty killer bass grooves in there. The master, again, going into those mid-tempo slow-burn grooves, the drums riding the toms as it builds up along with the tribalistic chug of the guitars. Maintaining that momentum just, it might seem a bit, like, predictable to say after a while, in the sense that, you know, once you get halfway through the album, you kind of figure out its general structure and everything. But I do admire the effort, because it kind of, you know, back and forth, fast and mid, it keeps things from, you know, like, pummeling you too much and getting annoyed with, like, oh, fast, 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 slow, slow, slow. There's an actual pace here to be had, especially the fucking, with some hard-hitting tracks like fucking Drowning Hour, which is another just aggressive, pummeling sort of thing. And, you know, there are tracks that try to, like, thread the needle between both of these extremes. God Haunts is definitely one of them, finding a happy balance with its, like, 6-8 drum grooves and its very furious blast beat moments. Of course, the single we did talk about on the podcast, Re-Death, which kind of switches between, like, grooves and hammer blasts, and it's just all kinds of really just vicious goodness, man. This is a pretty strong follow-up to, I think their last proper studio album was 2015. I know there was like an EP or two in between, but yeah, you know, it was definitely well worth the wait for some fucking gnarly ass, gritty, rough, screaming ass bangers. And speaking of bangers, Denzel Curry, back so soon, ooh, eh? Pretty much about, I think it's like 10 months pretty much since Taboo came out. And yeah, you know, as pretty much the native of the 305 here, I can tell you this is one of the most Miami AF albums I've heard in a while. Pretty much, like, you know, it opens up strong with the title track, and then when it gets into Ricky, which, you know, I'm going to be completely honest, having listened to it since the album came out and since the single came out, I think this is probably in the running for, like, rap banger of the year. It is just fucking stupidly jamming and awesome, with all of those, like, sort of 90s 808 drum machines, and pretty much sounding quintessentially like, you know, Miami bass production style. And it's quite literally 305 to a T, and Ricky sounds like he was a cool dad. Of course, when it gets into some slightly more downbeat stuff, like the song Wish, where the beat is a bit softer, it kind of sounds like when you're at a party down here, and this is what plays when it starts to wind down. Hell, honestly, it kind of sounds like a kiddie instrumental, just with Denzel rapping bars over it. And as he says, Miami Dade on my motherfucking back. Of course, the queasy, distorted vibes of songs like Birds, you know, kind of accentuate the description of his hometown as, you know, being full of, like, gangsters and vultures. You know, Miami-Dade, Carroll City, that kind of area. it's a very disorienting experience, especially when like a lot of the production almost kind of sounds like ambulance and police sirens when you listen to it for long enough. Of course, you get a lot more of those like 90s percussion effects with songs like Carol Mart, and of course Shake 88, which is pretty much like, it's basically the 29 equivalent of Woot, There It Is, a freaking booty shaking jam of that particular nature. It does go hard, though, I will admit. Yeah, this whole thing from top to bottom, it's pretty succinct, you know, not too long, not too short, just the right amount of Denzel, great bars, banging all around. Man, this shit is, this is some good shit. And now to move on to the last of my top picks here, diving right back into the grind, we have Full of Hell coming back after taking my number one slot in 2017, this time with their Relapse Records debut, Weeping Choir. Now, that's not to say they haven't been keeping busy. Shit, these guys are always, like, you know, either doing tours, they're either releasing splits. Hell, last year they had a collaborative album with The Body. Oh, no, wait, I think that might have been the year before, but either way, the point is, these guys are not slouches. They keep very, very busy. And, of course, with this album, it certainly tries to sort of emulate some of their pre-Trumpeting Ecstasy releases. Like, the thing with Ecstasy was that it went for more of a general death grind sound, peeling back, while pulling back a bit on the noise elements, only because they had already released a bunch of, like, other noise albums. Like, they had that other collaboration with The Body they did. So they were just kind of, like, trying to differentiate that. But now that they've put some distance between that, they're ready to come back with more of the noise. You know, ripping right out of the gate with Burning Myrrh, which provides a familiar sense of unbridled chaos, the blast beats, the abuse of the right cymbals, the tremolo guitars, the fucking guttural growls of Dylan Walker. There's definitely some changes in the production you notice right away. Like, while Kurt Ballou is back, this one decides to settle more for, like, a sort of very rough, brittle kind of sound compared to more of the sharp punchiness of Trumpeting Ecstasy. You know, to kind of, you know, emphasize, like, the reintroduction of a lot of the noise elements. Like, when you listen to tracks like Haunted Arches with the super muddy riffs and, you know, muddy drum production getting into the sonic hellstorm. Tracks like Silmaril, where the drums are sort of just rapidly switching between, like, 16th note and fucking triplet 32nd runs. All menacing grooves and shit and everything. Of course, there's tracks like Igramul, The Many, and Thundering Hammers, which, you know, bring in a lot of those sort of more death metalish syncopations in there. But then when you really get into the noise, you know, you get tracks like Rainbow Coil, which is this deliberately tuneless just wall of noise driven by synthetic squealing, vocal growls, and punctuated by heavily, like, digitized, distorted, fucking rapid drum fills. Downward utilizes these very off-kilter guitar progressions, topped off with this very loose rhythmic digression near the end that kind of sounds like a Ken Mode kind of track. Angels Gather here has that heavily distorted feedback loop that builds into this more slowly menacing thing with the drums pounding out as the distorted bass line blows out the mix even further and further. It's heavily littered with industrial elements that, again, call to mind The Body or even something like Author and Punisher. Of course, the album at its most experimental features the 7-minute track Armory of Obsidian Glass, opening with these droning guitar distortion that builds before the drums enter with this slow, unusual rhythm. The vocals growl with heavy amounts of echo and reverb, while being complemented by these more melodic vocals, courtesy of Lingua Ignota's Kristen Hader. Her contributions add this unusual melancholia to the song that almost kind of sounds like the more sorrowful tracks from, like, the last Cult Leader album. A vibe that continues even as the song eventually ramps up to more grinding, pummeling, aggressive, you know, atonal, just evil. And yeah, so this is a strong, strong follow-up to Trumpeting Ecstasy, one that finds them being able to successfully balance the more death metal-ish elements of that record with the more, you know, noise and distortion that defines much of the rest of their career. I'm still feeling out how it's going to rank on my top list. I mean, it's certainly up there. There's been a lot of good shit this year, but yeah, as it stands, this is some thoroughly pummeling shit. So now let's move on to some of the quick picks that I had here. First up, Bad Religion's Age of Unreason. You know, it's a Bad Religion album. It's got that punk energy to it. Kind of reminds you how fucked everything is when you think about it. Yeah, it's Bad Religion. Of course, Neckbeard Death Camp, So Much for the Tolerant Left. A glorious slab of noisy-ass war metal littered with tons of shit-posting sensibilities for guys like me who recognize, you know, Vine clips and songs like Shitpost Knocked. And, of course, you know, Bricks Out for Harambe. Rest in peace. But, yeah, you know, gotta love this kind of, you know, pretty much anti-music sort of trolling the fucking really just obnoxious douchebags in the modern black metal scene. It's fucking great. Of course, gotta give a shout-out to Metal Swim 2, serving as another solid vertical slice of metal jams representing where the genre's at right now. Pretty much from the mainstream to the underground, from black and thrash to industrial and drone and everything in between. Just shouting out some of my choice cuts here. Freak Show by Nervosa. A Crude Sectioning by Author and Punisher. Sounding Stare by Cat Cats featuring Andy Gibbs of Thou. Ahi Ka by Alien Weaponry. And even It Took the Flood by Dreadnought. Speaking of Dreadnought, their new album, Emergence, which was pretty good, combines a lot of elements of like progressive metal, ambient, groove, and doom into a pretty unique metal package. One that manages to be like consistent, even as it's like constantly shifting through various styles and ideas. And hey, if you want another metal album that just so happens to maybe feature some saxophone in there, there's another one. Who doesn't love saxophones in their metal? Of course, Tim Hecker's Anoyo pretty much does exactly what it says on the tin. It serves as a pretty solid complement piece to Konoyo, with similar sort of, you know, droning ambient sensibilities with those Japanese instrumentation backing it. So, yeah, it's a good release. Of course, Carly Rae Jepsen coming back with Dedicated. Another excellent slice of just really catchy, you know, pop bangers. It's very heavy on, like, saturated bassy synths and disco dance vibes. Perhaps more so than Emotion in terms of, like, the very synthetic production. But it's all good, you know. You get those upbeat party feelings of songs like Now That I Found You. Some tropical percussion and guitar work of Want You in My Room. The kind of reggae-ish vibe of I'll Be Your Girl mixing with her usual pop motifs. Oh, and Real Love, the saxophone comes back there. So if you need the saxophone and your Carly Rae Jepsen, there's where you go to get it. Of course, the new Flesh God Apocalypse album, Veleno. It's more Flesh God Apocalypse. It's a lot of really angry death metal combined with, you know, vast soaring orchestral elements and pianos and shit. Yeah, it's Flesh God Apocalypse. Amon Amarth, Berserker. It's another Amon Amarth album, I guess. You know, tunes are banging enough. Production's pretty strong. I don't know, I kind of feel like this is the one where I'm like, I'm not tuning back into it as much. Certainly not as much as I was with, what was that last one? Jom's Viking, which, you know, was pretty, you know, some pretty killer Amon Amarth. This one just feels like it's, you know, all right. Of course, Ringworm with Death Becomes My Voice. You know, definitely another Ringworm album. Lots of those thrashy kind of metallic hardcore metal bangers. It's Ringworm. It hits hard. This might be workout music for people who work out, but for guys like me that don't, wow, what am I doing with my life? And last but not least, the untitled new album from Rammstein. I mean, okay, I know quite a lot about Rammstein. I've heard all their albums. I've seen them live even back in high school. That was a pretty killer show. And while this isn't a bad album by any means, I mean, there's some strong tracks on here, but I kind of feel like for the most part, you could listen to Radio and Siegdisch, and that's where you get the most banger-ass energy out of the whole record. And I guess a Poupe as well. But to have been waiting a decade for an album that feels very low to mid-tempo on a lot of its tracks, with only those one or two certified classic bangers, just kind of feels weirdly underwhelming. Like, I don't know, maybe they probably should have done a song in like a different non-German language. You know, maybe do another one in Spanish. Give us a follow-up to Te Quiero Puta. I like that song. But yeah, now time to get to the lowlights. And I do have two L's to dish out, both of which were already mentioned by previous co-hosts. But let's go for round three here, because how many times do we have to teach you this lesson, Bobby Tarantino? Ah, man. You know, here's a random thought that came to mind. You know those cases when an album's artwork is selling a much better experience than you end up getting? Seriously, I just feel like pointing that out here, because I'm going to say a lot of mean things here, and I just want to have one nice thing to say, which is, this is probably my favorite Logic album cover. No, real, it's actually really fucking cool looking. But, you know, the album starts off with the title track, and it seems solid enough, you know, really lush instrumental, Logic's bars about his life, anxieties, his career, etc. It's not a major reinvention of the Logic wheel, but it's serviceable. And then it takes a hard left turn into fucking Homicide, and yeah, I still hate this fucking song. You know why you the greatest of laughs, son? Cause you came out of my balls, nigga. That's how the song opens. And somehow it even goes more downhill from there. Especially when he's doing the fucking annoying nasal voice thing that reminds me of the worst material from even like Eminem's good period. And then Eminem comes in, and he's really annoying. And I'm still pissed off at that Chris D'Elia sample, because fuck, he sucks. Clickbait is, you know, the usual, oh, you know, can't trust the media, can't trust Charlamagne, can't trust these hoes or whatever the fuck. Friggin' Mama Show Love feels like it's like on autopilot for the whole run. Fucking Out of Sight is about, like, the glow-up of his career, smoking weed with the homies, getting that paper. I'll give Pardon My Ego this. It probably has the best instrumental on the record, with those woodwind instrumentations over top the beat that kind of sounds like a samurai film. You have songs like Commando, which try to have these emotional beats to it and bars, but then fucking G-Eazy comes in and it's like fucking, why? And yeah, that's the problem. It's like, you know, I'm going to put it like this. I think Logic suffers from the Weezer problem, in that, look, there are plenty of artists out there who can release multiple albums either in 1 year or consecutively across years and have it come out interesting and amazing. Logic is very clearly at this point not one of those guys. It just kind of seems like he's spinning the wheels, he's jogging in place, and it's just so like, dude, you need to take a break or something, man, because like, there's only so many times we can hear you talk about like, oh, you're depressed about stuff, you diss on all these non-lyrical, you know, trap rappers like, you know, G-Eazy, Gucci Mane, Wiz Khalifa. Hey, wait a minute! Those three guys show up on this fucking album, and you're dissing the entire background genre, subgenre that they come from? Okay, dude, you're kind of sending mixed messages here, man. I think that might actually piss me off more than anything else, and okay, about the Will Smith track, I'm just gonna say this. I think it kind of says everything right there when you get shown up on your own album by Will fucking Smith. Ah. Jesus Christ. I think I'd rather friggin' listen to, like, those Aladdin, you know, whatever music he was doing for that movie than fucking listen to this song. But at least Will Smith is trying. It's harder than you are, apparently. But yeah, dude, just, I don't know, like, why don't you start a Twitch channel or something, stream Mario Kart, just stay out of the studio for at least 2 years, please.
Yeah, maybe you can challenge me to Staples, for once or something, I don't know.
Maybe you should do what Danny Brown did and stream Persona 5.
Yes, perhaps. But, you know, that isn't the worst album that came out on May 10th that received a red flannel thrashing from the Melon himself. At least in my opinion, at least. Yup, it's time to take on Mr. Mac DeMarco here. And I know if anybody I know, like, at the station is probably listening to this, I don't know if they're going to give me the side eye since they are generally Mac DeMarco fans. And I am somewhat, too. You know, I like his first couple albums. And, you know, I wasn't super hot on This Old Dog or anything, but it was pleasing enough, I suppose. But this, for me, would be the real 1 out of 10 because, Well, I mean, that would be generous now that I think about it, because it assumes that this is an album of music. I'm not even sure what this it technically is. I mean, I hear something that sounds like guitars, stuff that sounds like vocals, but everything I'm hearing here is fucking empty, dry as anything. It's like, I mean, wasn't this guy like a songwriter with a certain level of charisma? You know, wrote a lot of upbeat songs with fun guitar progressions that, sure, weren't exactly fucking, like, Enter Sandman or anything, but at least they managed to have, like, a sort of breezy fun to them. Well, throw all that shit out the motherfucking window, yo, because this is, and I mean this in the most literal sense of the term, the most tired-sounding album of the year. And I have no idea if I'm gonna hear any album that's as lethargic as this. Like, okay, I get it. He's trying to go for some fucking yeehaw cowboy bullshit or whatever, but this shit is so boring, I think I'd rather be listening to fucking pop country, like Florida Georgia Line. At least that's got a hook. A bad one, but it's there. Like, literally the only song that's got any sort of pulse to it is Choo Choo. But even then, that song is basically like some fucking magic or snow, like, you know, COD reggae nonsense. Shit, like, it's only slightly better than, like, a UB40 jam. Jesus fuck, like, again, I get that This Old Dog was a little bit more mellow than his first two records, and it wasn't like a fucking multifaceted prog metal opus or anything. But this album here is so dry that it makes This Old Dog look like Dream Theater in comparison. And you know what the worst part is? And we've already mentioned this in the run-up to this album. The fact that all the invocations of comparisons and similarities to Mitski and her album last year, Be the Cowboy.
Yeah.
Honestly, I should have just skipped this album and listened to Mitski again. I have no idea what I was doing listening to this. Jesus fuck, man. I don't know. Like, do we need to bring Eric Andre back to light a fire under his ass?
Let's do that. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. But that's it for our individual discussions. But as you may have guessed from some of the foreshadowing, there is one album that is still here on the table. The one shared universal point amongst all of us as people who dabble in hip-hop and guys who stay up way too late to watch weird cartoons about jellyfish, wolves with laser cannons, and however the hell you would describe Hunter x Hunter. But, yeah, that is, that group discussion that we're about to have is indeed on that new Flying Lotus record, Flamagra.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Man. 5 years, man. And, you know, to be fair to the man, he has kept busy with his various multimedia, you know, affairs, you know, being all buddy-buddy with his new best friend, Mr. Shinichiro Watanabe, along with, you know, his feature films and everything. But it's about time to get back to the music. And judging from some of the tracks here, I'm guessing he must have sat on some of this for a while. I mean, it opens with Heroes, which we heard on the Adult Swim Singles program, like, what, like 2 years ago, I think? I want to say it was the 2017 one.
Yeah, I think it was the last one. It was on 2018, like last year. Like, I think it was the final one on that one.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a pretty solid way to start the album, I suppose. Like, you know, it kind of jogs your memories of like, oh yeah, I remember that song. With those really lush synth vibes, jittery drum patterns. Of course, those Dragon Ball Z samples, you always gotta have those. Yeah. Although, sadly, nothing about needing to teach Kid Trunks about PEMDAS. For shame, sir.
At least we did get the, which is always nice to hear.
He's powering up, man. Almost kind of a good metaphor, in a way. And yeah, you know, then it gets right along into Post-Requisite with its really, you know, jangly drum patterns, the lush chimes, warbly synths, and the groovy, choppy bass of everything. You know, you start off with some pretty good instrumentals in there. But of course, you know, you have a lot of those good instrumentals throughout the album with stuff like Capillaries or Pilgrim Side Eye. But of course, the big moments here come in the form of its various collaborations. The first major one we get being, of course, Anderson .Paak on More.
And yes, as before, this is a very soulful, very hip hop body. Something you always hear from Anderson. Answer back on here. And we keep saying interesting. It's like, this is something you hear off something from Nietzsche, from the Jobbies or Madlib. Like, you, like this is something you would play. Like, again, I said, I saw someone post, like put this track, like, on the opening of Samurai Champloo. Like, damn, it's like, it fucking fit. Like, it sounds like something you would hear on a Once Nabi anime. Like, fuck, it sounds so funky. Like, this shit, it just works.
Yeah, it's basically Battle Cry with, like, an R&B glow-up to it. Nothing but the best from Mr. Pack. Best teeth in the game.
Yep. And I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to add this. I fucking love Burn Down the House. I'm going to say with George Clinton, because to me, when I was that, I get this, like, this very G-funk sound, which you feel like you want to ride this song in a low rider bump to this shit. Like, this sound, this fucking bumps, man. This really bumps.
Oh yeah, funky.
Those strong rhythmic grooves, the clap-heavy percussion, this is pretty much George Clinton to a T. And, of course, Flying Lotus's usual eclectic production choices pretty much make this a dead ringer for that woke project from, like, however many years ago that we only ever got one song out of.
Yeah. I was saying, we'll get the rest of them later on, but you'll soon get to the one with Little Dragon, Spontaneous. Well, thing was short as fuck, but it's still a good solid central track. Like, you, like you said, I love Little Dragon. Like, I love Little Dragon. It's like the when I hear do you want to test my love from Bucky King, I'm just like, oh, I'm in love with this.
Yep, you know, it's got some really shuffling, dancey grooves, really lush and beautiful sounding, and then segueing into another great instrumental with Takahashi, which kind of feels like something of an extension of that, collaboration, though definitely emphasizing bouncier bass grooves and some really funky-ass keyboards and shit. And as far as the collaborations on the record, the big standout for me, apart from more, would of course be Black Balloon's reprise, which, hey, Denzel Curry, good to see you again. This one is apparently like the middle part of like a trilogy. Like, we heard Black Balloon's on a Taboo, and then of course this being the middle part of that, and then ending with The Blackest Balloons. Like, and this one is kind of a standout in terms of its actual beat, in that the funkier elements of Lotus's production back off a bit to let some of the emotional intensity of Denzel Barr's shining through. There's some of those lush choir vocals in there, but it doesn't really clash that much. Instead, it kind of amplifies the sort of anxiety and menace of it. Like, it's really ominous sounding, you know, compared to his bars about, like, all his mental anxieties and how dark things feel in his mind. Like, you know, when he goes, inside my battered mind, I had visions of being broke, a broken man writing words of wisdom inside these notes. I must be the black balloon, and the children of the world always meet a doomed end. The earth will soon end. We all perish, all parents, all kids, all burns, all buried. The day the black balloon explode, we all die. Again, it's a pretty, like, dark moment on the record, considering, you know, what we know about the black balloon saga up to this point.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool how we're getting a reprise/continuation of a song from another artist and another album on a different artist's album. That's kind of cool. And yeah, it does change the mood up a little bit, considering most of the album has this sort of dark chill vibe to it. Yeah, but yeah, crazy crossover material. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I will say another track that weighed me out in the most interesting way is Young Baby with T.O. Whack, which I gotta say, that shit was trippy as all hell. What? Like, me, the lyrics where he says, in the sky, I'm so high, everybody looks up to me. You brother, you compete. I put titties in his face. Titties in his face.
Yet.
You got titties in his face. I got a bomb. That's just
Tierra Whack. Just Yeah, Tierra Whack, man. You know, she's been on a roll. She's been dropping, like, song after song this year, like, most of which we didn't even bring up on the podcast. And not to mention, did you hear that album she put out last year? Because I actually checked it out after seeing it on a bunch of a best of lists. The one that's, like, 15 tracks, 15 minutes. Sort of like a minute per track. Tierra Whack, a very interesting figure. Also, speaking of weird, I still have no idea what the hell is going on with Fire Is Coming. I assume there's some kind of meaning to that weird Lynchian narration, but your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, that's what got me head scratching on that. I mean, I know, like all the Lynch fans love it. Maybe I don't know what I heard. Since I mentioned woke.
Oh, yeah, friggin' Shabazz Palaces are here as well, showing up on the track, actually Virtual, which, you know, has a lot of that tribalistic percussion that we expect from their sound, and of course, Ishmael Butler's weird, super hazy, you know, delivery of bars and shit. As usual, I can't attempt to decipher it. I got no clue what's going on.
Yeah. It was like... Should I decipher? No, I'm not gonna decipher this shit. You're crazy. but yeah, like, I will say the only downside is it's kind of too short. Maybe you want to hear more, but I don't know. Like, it's like, what, like a minute and 58 seconds, close to 2 minutes? It's like, okay. I mean, what more, but alright. Like, I know, like, movie instruments, like, maybe like a minute. It's like the amount of time you hear a anime OP or ED is like pretty much that. Like, let's say you put a Final Lotus instrumental at the end of I don't know, let's say The Promised Neverland or some shit like that. It might fit.
Hey, I'm not arguing.
Yeah. Okay. I will say for me, like. Okay, like, unless I love the album, and I really love the album, I will say, like, the second half of the album, like, my first half instantly grabbed it. The second half is, like, it's okay, but it's still good, but it's, like, I think I like the first half more, but the second half has some good spots. Like, the one song I love is the climb with Thundercat. I really dug that song which, you know, the whole thing is, like, like, when the going gets tough and you get scared, like, you know, let me say, live, learn, don't. I can't do that shit. I'm never gonna try. But yeah, that song still is amazing. But yeah. Also, the other features, like, Not Cares for Toi Moi. I fucked that name up, but.
Toi Moi.
So Imar with Nine Carats and Len Hunt with Oh hey, Solange. So show up again. You be on the road this year. You're showing up at a lot of stuff from this to Tyler and your own album. And of course you do get a little instrumental with Thank You Malcolm, of course, dedicated to the late Mac Miller, which you do get this slow build to the beat, which really does hit you in the end, which, you know, which is something you hear movie woman do, which hey, and of course with a hot Ock, the final track, which it does end a way where it's like it drifts off to sleep, like you don't know when it ends, like it's like very tranquil. It's like you can't tell when it ends, not until you get to the last minute. Like, when I heard it, it's like, okay, is this really the end of the track? So, you know, so that shit, but this got me thinking a lot about this. Like, I know I said this is probably, like, I'm not gonna say this is probably an album that's gonna make me, this is too mean, like, maybe on some tracks, and still, like, it does have, you know, a lot of feels, like, you know, psychedelic, jazzy, in the more weird experimental shit he's known for. But yeah, this is like, if I guess it's an hour, seven minutes, like six, seven minutes, it's an hour worth diving into. Like, this is an album that you gotta have patience for. Like, this is an album that says this requires your attention. this is like you need to sit down. Well, maybe not sit down, or maybe you can sit down and just let the music absorb you, like that shit. Just let it get into your mind. Let it sink in inside you.
That's a very creepy way of putting that, sir. I am disturbed. But, I mean, obviously I see the point. Okay, so looking at the album as a whole, the collaborations are all really strong, and I think they showcase Flying Lotus's versatility at his best. He just has this way of finding the right exact beats to work with everyone from, like, Pac to Clinton, Denzel, and, you know, Lynch, Thundercat, all that good stuff. And, you know, while there are some good instrumentals on the album, I feel like I would have preferred more if there were more fleshed out instrumentals. Like, give me a small handful of Takashi. Oh, wait, is it Takashi? I've been saying Takahashi this whole time. Holy shit, I am fucking stupid. But yeah, give me
now some. Now you pick up on it.
Look, I'm not a smart man, okay? I'm too busy being mentally burned out from the hype of, holy shit, No More Heroes 3 finally happening after 10 goddamn years. What the fuck? But, yeah, like, give me more. Give me a small handful of lengthier instrumentals instead of overwhelming the listener with, like, all these 1.5, 2-minute instrumental things. I mean, they're not bad. Just, you know, flesh out the idea a bit more. So that way you can really let it, like, sink and marinate and vibe into your soul. But, you know, I understand, you know, it's been 5 years. He probably wanted to come back, you know, really big. And to be fair, this is, like, a big comeback. I do not fucking get where the melon is getting a 5 from. Come on, dude.
Yeah, man. I will say for short tracks, it reminds me of how, like, it reminds me of on the Thundercats Drunk, where I put the instrumentals, they were too short. I feel like that shit should have been fleshed out too longer. This one should have been fleshed out longer. That's how I feel about, you know, two tracks on that album, even though I end up giving that my number 2 spot that year. But yeah, like, I do wish, like, some should have been fleshed out more. But, yeah, I still say this is a very, very solid album. This is so far my album of the year. So far my album of the year, like, I know someone's gonna beat you with Madman Freddy Gibbs coming soon. But yeah, this is the one my album of the year, like, so far. But yeah, this is fucking fantastic. I love everything. This is everything Flying Lotus has been so good to me this year. Like, from this, and of course, you know, when they're gonna announce that? When they're gonna announce that Carol on Tuesday date, or when they have a date, at least part one of that shit? I don't know. At least in July or some shit. I don't know.
I'm still
waiting. I heard the one song is some of my feelings on how I'm not seeing that damn show.
Fucking bullshit! Goddamn bullshit! Fucking bullshit, son of a bitch, what the hell?
And that's why it's on Netflix.
Clearly.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've pretty much said everything I need to say. Any other parting thoughts from anyone here?
It's good. Still got that sort of vignette vibe with the short track links, but yeah, pretty good album, as always.
And so that finishes all of the discussions. So now is the part where we get on out of here. You pretty much know where to find us at this point, but Surreal Rezo on Twitter, like us on Facebook, visit the website at surrealresolution.com, find our Discord so you can salivate over this or that E3 hype moment, and of course, shout out to the producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. That about does it for this month's roundup. We'll, of course, see you with the next roundup next month. And, of course, the usual weekly business. So, until next time, Banjo is home.